Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney with a plethora of dudes. One name, Cole.
Hello.
One name, William.
Yo.
And Mr. Game O'Tempo, Bradley.
Hey, guys.
We brought on Bradley today because we're going to talk about Apex Season 5, which he's been slaying. He's got almost 100 wins already.
Damn.
Yeah.
Super excited. Yeah. Monday I'll hit the 100 mark.
Totally. And then we're going to talk about Maneater, which is a shark game that just got released for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this week. And Will's been playing that. That's why he's here.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason why he's here.
Yeah.
Well, if you keep into account that I've been the only one here for like the last 4 weeks. So,
well,
keep into account, I didn't even know you guys podcasted last week.
Hey, we've been calling you.
Yeah. All right. Sad face.
Well, Will can't really say much anyway because he missed like fucking 2 months.
Yeah.
Which I was there every day for. Let's have a throwdown. Let's have a Cole Will throwdown. Yeah. Later. Carry on.
Shots fired.
So, Cole, why are you here though? I can't remember.
There's no reason for me to be here. No, I was going to talk about Gears Tactics because I missed the Gears Tactics week.
Yeah, you did.
And I got some funny Sea of Thieves stories because I've been ripping it up lately. And the new update came out.
Yeah, so that's going to be the talk of the town. That's all coming up right now.
Right now.
Right now. All right, guys, welcome to the show. So we have four guys here today. We've had a woman on our podcast 2 times. Ever.
A woman?
A woman.
Was it the same woman or different woman?
It was 2 different women. And they didn't come back, so that's saying something. one of them was Mark's girlfriend.
What, yep. Alex was on the podcast?
She was. Yep. She said like 5 things. I kept asking her questions, and then she would just be like, and say something fucking super random in that tone of voice.
Mark was the other lady that never came back?
Yeah, was Taylor on our live show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought, didn't Dan's wife say something once too, though? When he was with us when we did one quick recording?
No, she said, he said something. Oh, we were critiquing her because she was critiquing our sailing. She's an actual sailor. Yeah, that's what it was. Anyways. Yeah. Just to start off this podcast, we got a lovely review from somebody in a comment, so it wasn't visible to everybody. So I'm just going to read it out now. It's from Luke Bullock.
Wait, was this a love letter?
Well, you and I both read it, so I don't know if it's to me or you or both.
It's definitely not to me or Bradley.
No.
No.
But anyways, Luke Bullock says, hey, Rodney, Will, new to the podcast, but I've been pumping out a good 20 podcasts in the last 2 weeks. You guys are very entertaining. Love your work and look forward to this week's content. P.S. You've made it to Australia.
God, Australia, finally. It's like, that's a big, big market down there.
Yeah.
You know? It's like 7 people. I mean, if you have 14 listeners, that's like half your viewers right there.
Well, I mean, when we started this podcast, we had two. So, big step up. Doubled it.
Who were the two? You guys?
Yeah, it was just us.
Yeah, I think was just Rodney and I re-listening to see where we could get better. Yeah. And for me, it was definitely losing the robot voice.
I love robot voice, Will.
How's it going? Yeah.
I'm Will, and I'm nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. Bradley joined us once from the bathroom at his work.
Yeah, that was awkward.
That was super awkward. It was really echoey.
It's okay. It's quality, man.
I made it.
You know what's funny is the field of work we work in film, obviously, like, we don't get breaks, really. So it's like you go to the bathroom when you can, and your phone never stops ringing. So you call somebody, and they pick up, and you hear, hello, and it's just all echoey. You're like, I'll call you back.
Please leave me alone.
Yeah. Or hello. Oh, you're rolling? Yeah, just call me back.
Or no, the worst thing is the radio. The radio. Even though when people, like, you go to your head and you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna take 10 one more while on break. Yeah. It will go too. Fuck, I'm already going too.
Man.
What do you want?
Get away.
Oh, I hate answering the radio when you or
when you're taking a bathroom break.
Yeah. Because you have to put the radio, like, on top of, like, the the toilet paper dispenser. And then some people... Oh, actually, I disconnect completely. I take my headset out, everything.
I do as well. Yeah. I do not want to cue.
Yeah, so...
Hold on, Mark cue when he was going to the bathroom one time? And we heard him, like, grunting and groaning?
Sounds about right. But, yeah, you put it on top of the toilet paper dispenser, and then someone calls you, and I just feel so disgusting answering my radio while I'm in the bathroom stall.
And it's usually your boss trying to figure out where the hell you are.
Yeah. Where are you? 10-2, man. Back off.
Yeah, back off.
Yeah.
I'll get back.
Actually, the job that Cole does, when I did that job, like, you couldn't go 10-2. Like, you just didn't have time, and there was only one
No
of you.
Time. Yeah. It sucks. It sucks, unless you have a really good relationship with your, with the person who's right above you, because sometimes they can step out and save you if they're not too busy.
Well,
but they usually were.
Shocker. Yeah. All right, back to video games on a video games podcast. First thing up here, we're going to talk about Apex Season 5, which Bradley has been slaying in.
So ripping it up.
Bradley, what's new in Apex?
Okay, well, there is a handful of stuff. They destroyed Skulltown. That's the big one. It upset and made a lot of people happy. I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is.
Skulltown was lit, man. I love Skulltown.
Well, they blew it up. It's now in the ocean. Skulltown and Thunderdome. It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
So there is a little bit of lore story. I won't go into it too much, but they added Loba. And Loba's character, you actually got a sneak peek at her in Revenant's release. She's the little girl that her parents were killed by Revenant. She is a master thief and goes into a secret bunker under Skulltown, and it ends up exploding and she escapes. And that's how she joins the Legends.
Hmm. What's her abilities and all that?
She has a teleporting wristlet, a bracelet, that you have an animation, you throw it, and then you can choose when to stop the throw and you'll teleport to that spot.
That's kind of dirty, dude.
She's my new main. she's so good. So, like, you can throw it up and, like, get on cliffs, and so you can get high ground for, like, sniping. For retreating, like, you can be in cover, and, like, I've been getting shot almost dead, duck behind a car, and then throw it. And it goes, like, a straight throw, a good throw, you can get about 80 meters. So you get some good range on it. The downfall of it, though, is it's the animation time. As you're waiting for it to throw, you can't shoot. You can't do anything. You're just moving left and right, waiting for it to be where you want it to be, or waiting for you to drop it.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering what the downside would be, because it seems kind of OP.
Yeah, it's not like Pathfinder's Grapple, because Pathfinder's Grapple, you can still shoot and have mobility as you're kind of going. It has a slower feel to it, so
right.
I advise never pushing with it. It's more for flanking or retreating.
Okay.
Her passive is she can see any purple and gold loot within 80 meters or 100 meters through walls.
Oh,
Well, that's kind of OP too, Jesus.
So her, it is and it isn't, because a lot of time, like, you can't, you can see it, so you know something's gold or purple there, but some of the outlines look very similar. So the amount of times that a purple sniper scope has fooled me for a body armor, is kind of a piss off, but it's handy. And the one cool thing is you can actually ping, if you're close enough to it on the wall, you can ping through the wall and let people know, hey, there's something here, you need this, without actually having to go into the building, so you can just keep running.
Okay.
That's cool.
And that includes the pill bottle boxes, like the loot crates.
Yep.
You can see in those if there's something gold or purple and ping it without opening it.
So, but it doesn't show you exactly what it is, it just shows you, if like, you, an outline?
If you get close enough to it, it'll show you exactly what it is.
Okay.
But that's from it. A distance, from like 80 feet, you can see it and go, oh, there's something gold there. So instead of, like, if you're running in that open fields and you see those pill bottles in the middle, you can run and look and be like, oh, there's nothing purple. Like, if I don't need ammo or I don't need small heals, you can just be like, skip it, I'm not burning.
Okay.
But if something catches your eye and you're like, oh shit, there's something gold, I'm gonna quickly see what it is.
Hmm.
Interesting. So
it makes her help the team move faster.
I see, okay.
You're finding what you need to find.
So my question now is, obviously Apex's boxes are already set when you dive into the game.
Yep.
Whereas in Call of Duty, it's not set on the exact same night. It might be set in terms of what's in the crate, like a sniper rifle or a shield or whatever. Like, if that kind of stuff is set in there, but it's not the exact gun until you open the crate. Because this has happened to me a couple times. You'll open a crate, fucking AX-50 comes out, you're like, oh, buddy, I'm stoked. And then the AX-50, the RNG is still turning on it, so then it rolls to the next sniper up, which is the Dragunov, which is the shittiest sniper ever.
Fuck the Dragunov. I'm sorry. I'm slowly working my way through getting all the guns gold so I can get Damascus, and I thought I'd start with the Dragunov as it being the shittiest sniper, and I can't even get a fucking kill with that thing unless it's like close range.
I can't get a kill with any blueprint sniper that I find in the game. It's just like none of them are built for range. It's a fucking sniper rifle.
Yeah, they all have like thermal ACOG or yeah, just something. Well, red dot sight on him.
Yeah, and I'm shooting 100 meters away at his head, and there's like so much drop off. It's like, what the fuck?
It's because on the blueprints they don't have like the range.
I know.
Abilities, but
they don't have like damage range. Yeah, yeah, they have no damage range, which is super
the
annoying.
Barrel is the wrong choice. It's going for like ADS speed. Why the fuck do I want like all like attachments that are ADS speed on a sniper? I want like damage range, like suppression. Yeah.
What I've been doing is dropping in the war zone at the beginning and just finding all the guys who are AFK and then just shooting them in the head with the sniper.
That's how you gotta do it. I tried that once.
Really?
Today, and that didn't go so well. They were all AFK until they hit the ground, and then they all turned and were like, hey, and they killed me.
No. At the beginning, at the, you know how you have like 40 seconds? There's a party going on somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I know. Oh, in the warm up, you mean.
At the beginning, yeah, in the warm up. When you drop down in the warm up, if they start you with a sniper, land on the edge of the map, and then just snipe the guys who land. Because usually everybody's going to land around with that starting area, and then everybody pushes in, right? So everybody that's going to be around the edge of the map. A lot of them are usually AFK and just standing around, like doing something before the game starts. You just drop in with, if they give you a sniper at the start, I get like 7 kills a warm up just because I'm picking off people who aren't.
You know, right with if you play Plunder though, you always drop in with your loadout, your favorite. So I've been doing that with the Dragunov, and I've gotten like 8 long shots now in like 3 games.
Nice.
Sorry, yeah. Bradley, we're kind of...
Yeah, back on to Apex. So, Bradley, you're talking now with some parts of the map being destroyed. Is there, with the story, what do you think is going to be happening with Season 5? Is that going to be replaced with something, or is there going to be more happening?
So they did Season 5, they destroyed a bunch of places, and they revamped it. Inspired by World's Edge, which is their Season 3, Season 4 map. So you can tell that there's a lot of inspiration in how they did things there. And made Kings Canyon actually, in my opinion, a lot more fun. Now, they are hinting, based off like data leaks and stuff, that more legends will come, and these more legends will hint at more map changes. Potentially, actually, there was a little leak teaser in the LOBA launch trailer that they're hinting at a whole brand new map for Season 6.
Okay, that's interesting. It seems like a lot of games are going that way now.
Yeah, so this will be Apex's third map. And if you count the variations, King's Canyon has had three different major variations, and World's Edge has had two. So the whole thing with Loba is she's trying to get revenge on Revenant. So now there's this two legends in the game that actually hate each other. And I advise watching that. It's like a 5-minute video. It's like the launch trailer.
The reveal trailers?
It's not a reveal. It's like the storyline trailer. So it's showing Loba. And it's like her going into this little base underneath Skulltown, which is a Revenant robotic building factory. So there's like 100 Revenants under there. And she's trying to get revenge, but she's not getting revenge on Revenant. She's getting revenge on the assassin that Revenant is. So the assassin is like, he's just a floating head in this tube in this base. When she shoots him, because she's trying to kill this head to turn off all the Revenants, it teleports to another place, and it says this other place. That world is the world, or Outlands world, that Lifeline and Octane are from.
Oh, so it's building some lore now, finally.
This whole game is based off Titanfall. So the lore has been there. They're just adding more and more and more and more to it.
Interesting. Okay.
One other thing with Loba, her ultimate, I didn't get to touch on. She drops this black market staff, and it'll ping 100-meter radius around you, and any loot in that radius you can potentially pick up and take for yourself. But you're only allowed 2 items per legend, per use. So if you want a stack of ammo, you can take a stack of ammo. If you want heals, if you want a different gun, it's really handy.
That's another OP ability for her.
Yeah.
It's able to be destroyed. It gives away your position, and it's like you're looting at a loot box, so you can't, like, you're not movable, so you're vulnerable if you're using it. The other actually really cool feature that, or detail that they added with it, is if someone's in a Loba ult, all the loot on the floor floats.
Okay. So
like, it like hovers. So like, you know, it's on the ground. Like, it'll hover and kind of like float in the air, so you can tell someone's in the middle of using a Loba ult.
Okay. All right, so that's a nice balance, I think, yeah.
But, so, World's Edge
have a question
is coming back as well. Okay, go ahead.
So is there any visual identification in the game that Loba and Revenant hate each other? Like, if you...
Oh, yeah.
If someone chooses Loba and one person chooses Revenant in the same party, like, is it bloody obvious?
They have I don't know how much you guys have played, if you guys played when Revenant was released. Revenant's an asshole.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. And people are kind of nice to him in their social cues. When they launched this, they said that they can't have, like, Loba being like, oh, thanks, dear, because it's Revenant and she hates Revenant. So they were purposely lining up unique voice lines among all the legends.
Oh, nice.
And another example of that is in the lore, Octane, before he blew off his legs, was with Lifeline. Like, they were a couple, apparently. So he actually says her real name in the game multiple times. He's like, see that, Shay? And those are those subtle little lore tidbits that they've thrown in the game a lot more often lately.
That's cool. So, okay, sidetracking. Does anyone play Fortnite anymore? Like, has that died out?
There's still a couple people.
I know a few people that still play it.
Probably a couple more people that listen to than the people that listen to this podcast. It's like 16 people.
More than all of Australia.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's super exciting. Any new guns or anything in Season 5, Bradley?
They didn't launch a new gun, but they launched a new quest feature. Every day you can get a treasure pack, and every week they launch a new quest, which is a PvE team base. Like, you can go in with you and three others to complete a mission to help Loba obtain a new item. And it's slowly piecing a story together called The Broken Ghost. And it's the season quest storyline. And it kind of has all the legends in it. And it hints at some legends being betraying Loba and the rest of the team and helping Revenant, where Loba's trying to do this to help kill Revenant. So it's an interesting little dynamic that they've added. I've only done the first one. The second part comes out this Tuesday. So more and more will be released as they continue the season.
Hmm. Cool. Wish Warzone did something like that.
I mean, Warzone's still fresh, though.
It's still starting up, though. Like, we know, like, there's that nuke in Bunker 11. That's supposed to be leading to something, so...
Mm-hmm. I think Warzone, and I hate Apex for how long they take, but even Fortnite was a 10-week rotation between seasons.
Yeah.
Warzone's, what, you guys just said it's nine it's days like away from going to season day. Four.
Sorry, I'm talking over you. 75 days is a season.
Yeah. I guess that's not too bad. It just feels like Warzone, because if they're in season four now, they seem pretty far along.
Well, they're at the tail end of season three, 9 days left in season three. So, yeah. The one thing we actually found out not too long ago was, like Will mentioned, the Bunker 11 Easter egg. So this is actually kind of fun. It's fucking hard to line all this up, because you need a little bit of luck and a little bit of diverse teamwork and a little bit more luck at the end that people aren't camping the fucking bunker for you to open it and then just kill you and take all the shit.
Yeah.
But basically, to start this off, you have to find one of seven phones hidden throughout the Warzone map. Only three of them will be ringing. And it's random every time. And then you drop in and you answer the phone, and it's a Russian guy, and he'll give you three numbers in Russian, and you have to figure out what numbers those are. So, and that was kind of tough, though.
Tip on that: put on subtitles. Apparently, it'll.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Oh, someone else said it did.
I play with subtitles on, and it didn't do anything for me. But I'll check my settings.
I play with subtitles on too.
Someone said if you put on subtitles, it'll help you identify what the numbers are, and it makes it easier to figure it out from there. I don't know exactly the details. It's just from other streamers that I know that were talking about it.
Oh,
maybe the developers saw that and they took it out.
Maybe
trying to make it harder.
It says redacted in brackets.
That's what it does for me. Yeah. Redacted.
So maybe in that small little update they scrapped that.
A small little 75 gig update.
Yeah. Anyway, so they give you numbers. There's 10 different phones surround. These are separate from the seven phones you have to answer in the first place. So there's 10 other phones hidden throughout Warzone, and you have to answer the three phones from the three numbers he gave you in order. So if it was 4, 5, 6, you have to find the phone number 4 first, and then answer phone number 5, and then phone number 6. So we had a map that somebody did on Reddit showing where each of the numbers are, but fuck, it's hard to get to those in time. And then on top of that, you're playing on Plunder, so 150 other people are trying to kill you and take your money.
Yeah, I did figure a tip, though, if Rodney, we play tonight. I got to start the game with my thing being trophy system. So once we grab a helicopter, I put the trophy system on the helicopter so it can't get blown up.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. The other thing that made me mad, there's almost not a lot of time. Like, if you jump in and we go to the first three phones and they're not ringing, like, you got to start over. Like, you just don't have
enough
time
to
complete the whole
thing. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to have to do, is if we waste, like, more than a minute or two on the first phone, like, trying to figure out the numbers, it's a waste there.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So the end result of all this is it opens Bunker 11, which is by military base, and there's a blueprint in there, apparently.
Yep.
MP5 blueprint.
Yeah.
I did watch someone do this. It was a Stone Mountain I watched. Someone was walking through it. There's also apparently a computer you can reboot.
Yeah, and then a big red button that gets the gas out of a secret room, and then if you look in that room, there's a nuke on the on a table.
Yeah.
Tactical nuke, boys. Good thing tactical
when you hit
nuke.
The red button. When you hit the red button as well, apparently a countdown starts from 10, but it always stops at 2.
Hmm. It always stops at 1 in the movies.
Yeah. I was going to say, good thing there's no tactical nuke in Warzone, because those guys that shattered the world record the other day, or this morning rather, would have gotten that.
Yeah.
After 30 kills. Star
and all that. 138 kills in a 135 lobby. That's impressive. I'm going to watch that the video, though. Apparently, each of them had over 10,000 damage and over 30 kills each.
Good Jesus. God. Whew. Whew. That's crazy. But they, what I notice about these guys that do the world record runs is like they're very not precise on, obviously, they have good gun skills, but they're precise on their communication. Like one on by, or you know what I mean? Like they have one on, and then they have like a one word thing for specific buildings or specific areas. Yeah,
they really work as a team. We're getting a lot better at that, Rodney, you and me, because we play pretty much most of the time 2-on-3 anyways.
I don't know, man. You fucking leave me out to dry all the time.
Ooh, all out.
Yeah,
on
right.
Yes.
Okay, so before we stop talking about Apex Legends Season 5, Bradley, is there anything else?
No, guys, that's about it. It's probably one of their best seasons. If you ever do decide to get back into it, it's in a good place right now. They balanced a lot of characters.
Great.
Path got nerfed really hard and pissed everybody off, but I'm happy with it.
I wonder how many more Legends they're actually going to add to that game.
In the data leaks and dev hints, there's like another 10 in the work.
Oh, geez. So how many will that be total? Like 20?
I think it's like, yeah, above 20. I think they're at 11 now, or 11, 12.
Oh, yeah. That's good, though. Like, that just makes the game more diverse, and there's more team, different
team
ways
dynamic.
To build a team, yeah.
I do like the game. They changed the metas a lot, so when it first came out, it was all Wraith and Path. Everyone was Wraith and Path. Mm-hmm. Now you're finding a lot more diversity. Like Mirage got a massive buff. He is a pain in the ass now. Bloodhound got a quick, really nice buff, and is more usable. Caustic, his ability, his traps and his gas no longer slow your teammates down. Which is, if you ever played with a Caustic, it's a pain in the ass walking through his gas and moving at half speed. Mm. Like they've just changed things enough to make more characters relevant.
Right.
So you can run into a team and a team can play in different dynamics, but they can play completely different from each other. So you have to use your knowledge of each legend and also think about how that player may actually play that legend.
Nice. All right, well, join Gamer Tempo on Facebook. He streams... When do you stream? Mondays and...
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Cool.
9:30 Eastern, typically.
So, and you have, like, 1,000 followers now, right?
820?
Nice. Man, Gamer Tempo was just a little wee Gamer Tempo when we first met, and now he's a pro Apex player.
Getting there, working on it.
Cool. All right, let's talk about Man Eater, because I'm interested to hear about this game, Will.
All right, so out of us, who here have played Hungry Shark for the mobile game?
Is it free?
Yes.
I'll play it right now.
Basically, Hungry Shark is the base for this game, pretty much. As much as they talk about it being like an open world GTA, it's not quite along those lines. Sure, there is a backstory to it, which does make it more enjoyable. And then having these weird narrations from Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live is kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
But
like how you reference Chris Parnell in Saturday Night Live.
Hey, you got to.
He's been like Rick and Morty. He's Jerry.
Oh, that's
it. And Archer, he's, what's his name? Sile? But no, it's just funny. This is an old school call out.
That's where I remember him from.
Lazy Sundays.
But basically, the game starts you off as like a badass shark right off the bat. So that is your tutorial. Is you're this adult shark killing humans. You get all these hunters after you, and then it literally just switches to what's the guy's name? Something.
Pete. Something Pete. I can't remember his name either.
Something.
Proshaw Pete. Are you talking about the hunter?
Yeah, just why can't I not think of his name right now? It's annoying me. But whatever. You basically, it switches to a cinematic with him, and the big shark gets killed by him. He rips the shark open, and a baby shark is in the belly. So he pulls that shark out, which is you, and he throws you into the ocean after scarring you and saying that's how he'll remember you.
Don't you bite off his hand as well?
You do, yeah. It seems every time you see him, you do something bad to him, so it gets worse and worse. But yeah, when he has you, he kind of cuts you from the eye to the fin, and he's about to throw you in the ocean, and then you just bite his hand off, and yeah. And so you're a baby shark, go from there. You can literally eat small fish and stuff like that. You're level one, but in this level one area, there's like level 8 alligators, level 15 crocodiles. It's kind of dangerous.
So you start in the swamp, because there's a bunch of different areas, right? There's like a city and a swamp and open ocean.
Yeah, some places are locked, right? So you can't access them right away. I know like the tourist area right now, I can't access that. There's a barrier. But you can go to like a lake and stuff like that, and I find to like evolve your shark, you have to get these like shark hunters after you, like the specialized ones. And when you kill them, you get like I got bone teeth and electric teeth and a health upgrade and stuff like that. So bone teeth basically like increase your damage when you're like biting down on something.
I was going to say, isn't bone teeth like the default?
No, there's three different things. So there's bone, electric, and shadow, I think. Or it's like an alien type thing. I don't know. I haven't even seen that yet. I've only seen bone and electric. I'm level 11, and I think the max level is 30.
I like how my joke went right over Will's head.
Oh, bone.
Regular bone teeth.
Yeah.
So you start the game as a baby shark, and then you go to adolescence and then adulthood, and then you upgrade yourself from adulthood, or can you even become an electric bone baby shark?
So as a teen, you can basically only have access to like bone teeth and electric teeth. Mm-hmm. I just became an adult. So now when you kill humans, you get like the hunters after you. So I have to see who I can get after me this time. But I know after adult, you go elder shark and then mega.
How do you know that you've grown? Like, so you start as a baby shark. Once you eat enough stuff, does it do like a cutscene, or do you just get bigger every time you eat something, or?
So there's like little story, like tedious stories they'll tell you to do. So it'll be like go kill 10 radioactive fish.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not as easy as it says. They're always like surrounded by like mako sharks or alligators or something like that. So it makes it a little more challenging. But then it'll go on to another thing. It'll be like kill 10 humans. But once you kill 5, you get hunters after you. So you got to take them out, and then it still counts. Then when you get access to a new like area, it'll tell you to like go to that area, and that's your quest.
Okay.
And then it unlocks like a fast travel location, which is like your home base. It's like a cave. Mm-hmm. And usually when you do that is when you evolve, if you meet the level requirement.
Okay. And you, once you get to adulthood, that's when the game becomes open world. So you're just getting to the open world part of the game?
There's no like it's open world, but it's cut off for me right now. So I can only access certain parts because they don't want you going like into where I could run into a level 30 level 45 sperm whale, because that would end horribly for my shark.
Yeah.
And the apex predators, like the special bosses, they're really tough. I've only fought the apex barracuda, and even he was a fight. So I did see the apex crocodile in the sewer. I'm not ready for that. He's a way out of my my hands at the moment.
That freaks me out. There's just something freaky about, you know, video game water.
Yeah. It's
because in real life water, something could happen, something might not. In video game water, something bad is always going to happen.
Well, there especially is no when you're the one causing it.
Yeah, it's true.
I love, like, going to the beach where the humans are and just, like, circling them for a little bit like Jaws used to. And then I'd bring the fin up, and then you'd hear them yell, scream shark. Oh, yeah, pretty much. I give my own music, and then I go to town.
That's awesome. With Chris Barnett narrating the whole thing.
Pretty much.
Parnell. Yeah.
It's like they're going to think twice about using that using a paddle boat in this lake.
That's awesome. So you still have a lot of game. You're only a little bit of the way through the game.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Like, there's, I think, 9 or 10 apex predators, and I've only seen fought the one and seen the second one.
Nice.
It's weird hearing apex predator.
Apex legends. Just a little girl swimming in the water, teleporting around.
But the one thing the game has taught me is level does mean something. I remember in the first area, even when I hit level, like, I think it was like 5, I could take out the level 8 crocodile. So I got cocky and I went after the level 13, one of the mini bosses. It did not end well. No. I like got one chomp and then I like backed away because you have like a dodge ability and a tail whip. So like I bit, tail whipped it and dodged, and the thing just like charged at me and ate me in one bite.
Let's bring back memories of the whatever that fish boss is in Majora's Mask, the one I can't fucking stand.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
No, I can't remember the name of it, but I hated it so much. It's like impossible to get away from it when it was attacking you. And you had to go in the water to like use your electricity. Gyor, yeah. You had to go into the water to use your electricity to kill it. And it, so it's like you had to go in there and get eaten.
Water so bosses, man. They're the worst.
Well, this is a little different. You actually have to be in the water. Yeah, like the shark can go above ground. Like I killed a whole bunch of humans on a golf course, which was kind of fun.
You just like flop around, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. So I was like charging from one human, eating him, going to the next and watching my air, and then I'm like, fuck, gotta go back to the water.
What kind of Sharknado fucking shit is that?
Yeah, because well, sharks like, have to shark keep moving or they evolved. Suffocate, right?
Yeah, you're like a bull shark, right? But you're like you're evolving. Like you can do like a full bone frame, which makes you look like a dinosaur shark at the end of the game. Then there's like the electric shark, which makes you look like an alien shark. And then there's like this one that has like dark matter, which like gives you like red eyes and you look like a complete demon.
Nice.
Demon pain.
Yeah. I do. Oh, yeah. Right now I'm kind of digging the bone frame. So when you evolve, you have different things. So you have like 3 organ slots and then you have like head, muscle, body, fin, and stuff like that. So you can only have like one evolution equipped, but you can swap them out whenever you want by going back to your like cave.
If it were only that easy. Shark
going home at the end of the day, hanging up his hat on his cave wall, sitting down.
Well, yeah, pretty much. That's how it is. But each of the things have different abilities. So like the alien or the electric stuff has a stun effect, which is kind of good when you're taking on more than one like a predator in at a time. The bone is good for say if you lock onto someone and while they're in your mouth you can thrash them about. That does way more thrash damage, and it also does more damage to enemy like ships, boats.
So if you bite a ship and thrash it.
I'm not that big yet.
Can you eventually jump out of the water and, like, fucking axe a ship in half with your tail. That'd be so badass.
Probably from what I've seen of like end game things, because I was looking up like some tips, because I was getting a little frustrated in the first area when I was getting killed by like all the alligators. when you're like max level, you're pretty much a mega. So like even my adult shark right now, he's got to be around like 16 feet. He's pretty big. I think a mega is like an actual megalodon. They're not as big as, say, a per se.
Like the movie Meg?
Yeah, not that big. But it's still decent enough that it's really fun to play. And I can't wait to see what I can fully accomplish later on.
That'd be funny if they added a secret boss as Jason Statham. He's just swimming around in the water, grabs you by the tail, thrashing you around.
You thought you got rid of me, did ya?
Did ya? Oh, man. God love that guy.
He plays the same character in every movie, though.
Every single movie.
But yeah. He's typecast.
For sure.
He screwed himself once he took on Transporter, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he's really looking to be like the romantic guy or the rom-com. I think he does it because he loves it. He plays the same character because he's like, I'm the best.
You're gonna pay me multi-$1 million to act the exact same in every movie. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm down.
What if there's some resistance at first? Like, he just comes in and he's like, oh yeah, I got this. And he just reads like some random line that comes into his head and they're like, no, read what's on the page. He goes, oh yeah, okay. And then he does like the same thing and they'll be like, fucking whatever.
If there was a biopic, like, you know how they're doing all those biopics, like Freddie Mercury and Elton John, who would Jason Statham play in a biopic? That's what I want to see. You know what I mean? Like, he's going for, like, the edgy kind of true story or whatever, but I can't think of a single person he would be.
He was in Crank, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in Crank.
Yeah.
And Crank 2.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting that confused for Speed, or was he in Speed 2?
No, Speed was
Speed
a Keanu.
Keanu, okay.
And Sandra Bullock.
Man, the sex scenes in Crank were fucking retarded.
Dude, ridiculous. Just so over the top.
Alright. So, let's talk about our gaming order of the week this week, which was Holy Trinity. What do you think, Cole? Will probably knows.
Is it, oh man, Holy Trinity, it's gotta be... I think of something, and then I'm like, no, that can't be it, and then I doubt myself. Xbox, PlayStation, PC?
No. That would require them all to play nice.
That's true. But yeah. Then I was like, there's also, like, Nintendo. But Nintendo's the one above the next level.
Nintendo's the level one hog in the corner. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Bradley, what do you think?
Holy Trinity. We'll go with like three iconic characters, so like Mario, Pac-Man, and Sonic.
Again, they all would have to play nice.
At the Olympics, they're not playing nice.
Yeah.
Mario Olympics.
Will, you better know what this is.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, it's an RPG term.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
It's RPG Trinity consists of the three main types of classes: healing, DPS, and tanking. Almost every class in every RPG falls under one of these three categories.
Huh. Oh. Interesting.
I don't think I've never heard of it. Use that word.
I can see how it works, though. But yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody use it
in
real life sees.
I would have never guessed that, so I just have it in front of me.
That's a good one, though. I like that one.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, we hit the Holy Grail. Of
we
gaming
hit the
words
Holy
of the week.
Trinity.
So, all right, guys, visit our website, videogamesnow.ca, to find all of our content, including our YouTube videos. I'm making one right now called Activision Fix Your Shit.
I'm actually making one right now, too. I've been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves, and the new update for Sea of Thieves came out, so you can actually... pick. So before in Sea of Thieves you had like the gold hoarders, the souls, and
merchant,
and you have to do quests for them to get to level 50.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've bumped the cap up to 75, and
oh,
now you go to one of those three, what are they called?
The people to talk to for them, yeah.
Yeah, and you get a flag for each of those three, what are they called? Embassies. So you go to the embassy and you get an embassy flag, and the more quests you do for them, the higher your embassy flag gets raised, and you have 5 levels, and it doubles the amount of money you get for turning in the treasure and the amount of experience you get. So you raise the flag to level 5, and then you get an embassy quest, which is like you get, I think it's like 24, 25 of the highest level treasure, and you get to go out and find them. And then there's also the Reapers. So the Reapers, they get experience by selling the flags of the other embassies. So you want to go around and try to sink people and take their flags and go sell their flags. So they've added like an easier way to get experience, but also a more PvP into it as well. So I think this update's been really interesting, and like a lot of people have come back and have been playing. But our new strategy that the guy that I play with and I are doing is we take down everything so that we're wearing all sailor stuff, all sailor ship, and we pretend like it's our first day. And then we go around with people and they take us on really high level quests, and they usually end up giving you treasure or like trying to help you as much as they can. Mm-hmm. And we're both legend pirates. So we've just been sailing around with these legend guys and just taking all of their treasure. And then at the end of our entire session, we'll just go put on our full legend costumes and be like, thanks for all of the high tier loot for doing nothing. And it also counts. You have to steal treasure, and it counts as stealing treasure. So if somebody else has a quest and like gets the treasure from the quest and gives it to you, that counts as you stealing treasure. So you get all the commendations for stealing treasure because they dig it up and they give it to you. So my buddy was, there's a thing called tucking where you tuck on people's ships. So like you get on their ship and you hide, and then you follow them around and keep tabs on them to try to see what they're doing. So my buddy was playing for 2 hours and he was trying to steal the legend chest, which is the best chest from these pirates. And he's trying to steal it and trying to steal it. I join him and he's like, oh, I'm having a hard time getting this chest. So I put on all my sailor stuff. I just sail over to those guys without him. And I'm like, hey, it's my first day. And they gave me the legends chest that he was trying to get. They just handed it to me. And I'm like cry laughing so hard as they give it to me. And they're like, here, we'll sail back to the outpost and drop it off. So we go back there. My buddy pops out of the bushes. I give him the chest and he bails off and turns it in. And then we're both just like laughing, and then we blow up their ship and take off. So it's been, I've made a few videos of us just like trolling people as level 1 pirates. So I'm putting that video together. Yeah, I think I'm going to call it Taking Candy as a Baby. Because you're.
Mine's not as cheerful. I'm going into the nuts and bolts of this bullshit of fucking Warzone. Like, you can't jump through windows sometimes, just because.
Oh, yeah, you gotta break it, or your head gets stuck on the top.
Yeah, and
I get stuck. I always get stuck.
You can't
jump through windows.
Yeah, you can't climb 3-foot-high freaking rock faces.
Oh, yeah.
And jumping from Apex and Apex movement to Warzone is probably the biggest challenge between the two games.
Just sluggish.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There's a couple things I definitely miss from Apex Legends and Warzone. One of them is sliding down a hill.
Yes.
Yep.
The other one is definitely the movement and how versatile you are.
You don't get stuck on a tin can or a railroad track.
Yeah, your parachute just doesn't open sometimes.
And it's so fucking hard to go down a ladder.
Oh, yeah. You go to Quarry, and there's like the big, big building in the back of Quarry. Yep. You can climb all the way to the roof, but getting down that ladder from the roof is such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So yeah, check out that video coming out probably when this podcast comes out on Tuesday.
Whoa!
And I'm gonna stream Apex. I'm gonna stream Apex, even though I suck balls at it.
I was gonna say you're gonna take over for Bradley.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be the best now.
Yeah. I'm Gamer Tempo 2.0.
That would be such a piss off. Rename yourself that.
Well, actually, one time I started streaming and I accidentally cross streamed at Bradley's page, and then
the amount of people that messaged me,
they're like, "Hey, someone hijacked your fucking stream." He's like, "What?"
That's so funny.
And I'm trying to tell them, I'm like, I know him, it's okay. But I'm trying to tell him, hey, just an FYI, like, I have about 5 viewers freaking out right now because you're on my page. Like, their heart. Who the hell is this guy on your page?
Why get him out of here.
This doesn't
get
look, him out of here. You shouldn't have him on there. Like, oh, okay. Okay. Fine.
That's so funny.
Stop blowing up my phone.
Yeah. And then, I don't remember. I think I just cut the stream, but I could have been like, oh, apparently you don't want me, Gamer Temple fans. Fuck you. No, I was kidding. Yeah. So that happened one time.
That's so funny.
All right, so we have a new shirt. I think I talked about this last week. It's the my quote my brother said that I died laughing at about the I'm not good at video games because I played as Luigi growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good shit.
That shirt turned out really good. Like, after you said that, I was like, how can you recapture that? Because we were together when we were talking about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are you going to make that into a shirt? And then when I saw the design, I was like, all right, you pulled it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You son shirt. Of a bitch, you did it.
It's a really good shirt.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. All right, so...
Except for only Luigi players can get it, and we're all Mario players, obviously. I can just tell.
I am definitely a Mario player.
It's a good Christmas gift for my brother, though.
Yeah. It also works with Diddy Kong, because when you're playing Donkey Kong Country, I used to play with my cousin, and he used to always play as Donkey Kong, and I would play as Diddy Kong.
Yeah, so, I want to make, like, a player one shirt. I'm not sure how to do that, though.
I'm the best video game player, because I am Mario.
I'm the best video game player ever, ask anyone.
Could you get sued by Nintendo for releasing that I'm not good at video games because I played as Luigi shirt?
Probably.
Nintendo's like, we're taking the $3 you made off that t-shirt.
Yeah. Buy a t-shirt and I'll take it down.
Nintendo. You get the head of Nintendo wearing one of those t-shirts.
I'll just call up Reggie. I'm sure he's got some pull
hey,
still.
Hey, Reggie. Reggie's a Luigi player, definitely.
He just started a podcast, eh?
Oh, did
Is
he?
Is he called Video Games Now?
No.
I still want to get Reggie on the podcast.
If Reggie did start a podcast called Video Games Now, we'd probably get some big hits. People would accidentally be coming over here.
They'd be like, wait, who's this Rodney fucking guy? I want Reggie.
We want Gamer Temple. Bring back Gamer Temple.
Yeah. All right, so question this week was favorite Wii game. Asked that on the Discord and on the Video Games Now Facebook page. So if you head over to our website, you can find our links to our social media pages if you haven't already. All right, so Wii Sports was one. This is literally
Skyward Sword.
This is whoa, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, sorry.
Here. But yeah, no, I definitely want to play some Wii Sports. I had a good old. We talked about this a few weeks ago, I think. But yeah, I had a good old time playing some Wii Sports. Actually, I really like Skyward Sword 2. A lot of people hate it. They hate it for a couple reasons.
I only played Twilight Princess. I didn't play Skyward Sword.
Because
isn't Skyward Sword the one before?
It's Twilight the origin Princess. Of the Master Sword.
It's the It's the origin of the entire series. I think it's the first in the timeline.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda timeline is messed up. But
A lot of people didn't like it. One, for the motion controls, which you get over it. And two, because it was so linear. And you went into the same areas. So, I can't believe I'm about to explain Skyward Sword to somebody who's never played Skyward Sword. Basically, Hylia shed her divinity of being a god so that she can use the Triforce, because gods can't use the Triforce. So she basically gave up her godhood and was reborn as a human, and she had this whole thing set up while she was a god her and her chosen hero could do all this shit and banish evil. So you go around and you live on this sky island called Skyloft, and nobody's ever been below the cloud layer in the history of Skyloft, or so it's told, or whatever the fuck. And so you go down below the clouds and you visit the same three areas the whole game. It's cool.
I want somebody to go back in the podcast and take all the times Rodney's explained a video game and make a website that's Rodney's explanation of video games. And you're in the skies or whatever the fuck, and then you're dropping through and shitting, and you're doing it, and you know.
Yeah.
The Rodney Encyclopedia of Video Games.
That's a good idea. That's a real moneymaker.
Yeah. Right there.
Make a book, put them all together.
Step aside, GameSpot. Rodney's giving up or whatever the fuck.
Rodney's giving out descriptions like nobody's business.
And that'll be when you Google a game, it'll have my rating. It'll be like from one
instead
to
of Cole's
whatever the
notes,
fuck.
It'll be Rodney's descriptions.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for today.
Sorry, guys, I didn't get to talk about Gears Tactics, but probably nobody's played it. So.
What?
But you should, because it's super fun.
Well, you got 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes to talk about Gears Tactics.
Oh my gosh, 3 minutes. If you ever played a tactic game, it just captures the Gears universe and puts it into a tactics game. It's actually like really, really well done. It feels like Gears, but it's given like a strategy feel to it. And I love strategy games, so it's if you like tactic games, you like Gears of War, check it out. Even if you don't like tactic games, it's pretty simple. I mean, like the game play, like the you got to be really technically savvy to figure it out, but it's really easy to jump into. Like, there's not a big learning curve. They made it very easy to just pick up and try it out, especially if you're not used to tactic games. But it's also great if you do like them. Here you go.
Nice.
Add that to the website. Cole's description of Gears Tactics.
This Cole description of Gears
in
less
3 minutes
than
or less.
Minute. 3 minutes or less to explain all of it. There's
a
lot
that was
more.
Like a minute.
Yeah, it was a minute and a bit.
A minute and a bit?
Yeah.
Damn.
All right, guys. Well,
I think you should do that next podcast, Cole. You have to come up with a game and explain it in 3 minutes.
I will. That's a fun segment.
Or you just do the description and we got to guess what game it is.
Yeah, that'd be a good.
I wrote down all the games that we could potentially talk about today. I'll just keep this list because I didn't know what we had planned for it. Now I'll try to get you guys to guess on the list.
All right.
Here you go.
Sounds good.
That sounds
I think
fun.
On one of the upcoming ones, I don't know when it comes out. In the next couple of weeks, we'll probably have Brian back on to talk about his time playing Last of Us 2, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He played it?
No, when it comes out, he wants to beat it in one day and then give us a full in-depth review.
Oh my God. Dude, the game it took me like 4 months to beat the first one. There's no way he's going to beat it in a day.
12 to 16 hour gameplay in the first one on average.
I also was getting my ass kicked. I play on the hard.
But I also heard that this one, the playthrough on the number 2, we can play through it multiple times and it'll have different scenes. Like there'll be stuff you will miss your first playthrough.
Yeah. So, actually, cool. I just had a funny memory just now.
You have 3 minutes.
The completionist when he was he had a like a meeting with Eiji Aonuma about Breath of the Wild, and he's like, I'm gonna try to complete Breath of the Wild in 1 week, and Aonuma's like, ha ha, there's no way you can beat it in a week, like 100% complete it. And now there's people who do 100% speedruns of Breath of the Wild in 20 hours.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. 20.
Oh my god.
Yeah. How do you find 900 fucking Korok seeds in 20 hours?
I mean, you must have. I mean, how long has the game been out for? Like 3 years? You have to spend 3 years learning the game to boil it down into 20 hours.
Oh, they got the Nintendo Power, Skyward, or whatever it is, Breath of the Wild. They got the Skyward Scored one here. This doesn't help me at all.
They look up Rodney's review of Skyward Sword to try to beat it in 20 hours.
Yeah.
Well, that would suck.
Anyways, okay, guys. Thanks a lot for joining us this week. Join us next week on Tuesday for the new episodes of Video Games Now Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.